Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third down and less than a yard inside the Jags 28. Stroud of the gun. Woody to his right. On third and short, Stroud calls for the ball. Here's the snap. CJ looking. CJ pumping and firing. The ball is tipped and it's intercepted inside the five. They're going to say dropped. Oh, they're going to say he's got it. An official comes in late and they're going to say it's picked. It was deflected along the way and picked off, and the Jags are going to stop the drive.
Just like that. The Texans fall to 0-3. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig, with you on Reaction Monday. And the reaction is obviously very far from what we were hoping it would be as the Texans fall to the Jaguars at Everbank Stadium. And boy, this is not going to be too much of a fun one. Actually, you know what? I lied. We're going to try and make
it fun. It's going to be fun.
Get involved with us here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610. At least we can commiserate together, see if we can get through this Reaction Monday. Also, appreciation to the Mocarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Let's just talk this out. Let's talk it out. Just give me a little woosah. In fact, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a little breathing exercise, all right? So if you're with me, whether you're in your car, at the office, wherever, just one time for me. Breathe in. Breathe out. All right.
It ain't helping, Figgy.
Let's
it
talk.
Ain't helping,
right,
well, man.
Let's do this. One thing, let's timestamp some things. In the 12 o'clock hour, we will give away a four-pack of tickets to see University of Houston,
right,
a good football
a
team in the city of Houston, take on Texas Tech. On October 4th.
That's going to be a game right there, man.
A huge game, man. In the Big 12. So that one is coming down the pike. And then also, and maybe this sounds like a threat, I understand, 11:15, we should be hearing from the head coach.
Oh, that's can't
D'Amico
miss.
Ryans. Oh, yeah, no.
That is cannot miss, 11:15.
0-3 is you got splaining to do territory.
Yeah.
So D'Amico Ryans will hopefully do some splaining in 11 o'clock hour. Let's start here, though, with this Texans team. I have to say this. I thought this to myself midway through this game. This is a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad football team in the Houston Texans. Now, they have pieces and they have things that could easily make you think that they're a good team. And honestly, they could at some point find their way to being a good team. But as of right now, losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that, well, we'll go through it, but they seem to want to hand you the game as much as you wanted to hand it to them. This is a bad football team, John Lopez.
This is a very bad football team. And I just want to sort of lay the groundwork here for the week, for the day, for the hour, whatever you want to say, because I think we have to understand a few things. Now, we're going to talk about this whole we're close thing during the question of the day. But let me just kind of frame it this way. Have the Texans deserved to win any of their three games? Just from the eyeball test. The answer to me is no. They haven't deserved to win any of these games.
I hate the concept of deserve, though.
No, but you know what you feel when you're watching a game. Like they're getting away with something, or boy, they're gonna escape, despite maybe not, like I said, deserving to win. However you want to define it, to me, they haven't deserved to win a single damn game.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, with the caliber of team that they should be, and honestly, like, if you just go off of what they've put on paper, no, like, you just get them handling or getting handed these losses, you can absolutely go, well, I mean, you earned that. Like, mm-hmm, this is not far off from what. Now, if they had gotten these wins, all right, you found a way to win, but we still have some bad things to talk about. And honestly, I found myself sitting here on this floor watching the game with the likes of Sean Pendergast and Clint Sterner, and looking at it and going, hey, man, please just win this game. Like, mm-hmm, we're going to have awful things to talk about, mm-hmm, because what you're doing stinks. But at least win the game, we can change. Nope. Here you are, 0-3. And the thing that is most frustrating for me, actually, I don't think I could power rank at this point. We'll figure out by the end of the show, is that that's a division game, but so many of the bad things that the Texans did, I can't chalk up to, well, you know, division games are crazy, what I mean? I can't give it to that. Like, mm-hmm, these are things that, and again, when I talk about bad, it's the same story. Right, you have false starts that are killing drives. What up, Titus Howard? You have some of those. You have some of the most unbelievable drops.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Nico Collins, when you need it, right? You've got a punter in Tommy Townsend, like, shanking.
I didn't even mention that.
And not like playing the field position game, which is one of the few things you have in your bag when, mm-hmm, you got leaky yards coming all over in defense, and you've got an offense that is not progressing the football. It just, like, all the way around, this is bad football, and it's heady bad football. It's execution bad football. It's operation bad football. It is just B-A-D, actually. Let me put it the way I like putting it, M-A-L-O, bad football for the Texans right now.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about, hey, we're close. We hear that, and again, question of the day is going to be revolved around that. Not only did they not deserve to win, usually when you're close and you can feel like you're close, you see signs. There were... Correct me if I'm wrong. Where were the signs that, okay, at least they're starting to do this well, or I could see where this is going to be something that they can build? There is nothing that happened yesterday that you think, okay, at least they're doing this better. You know, everything that D'Amico has said last week and in the last couple of weeks about, you know, the process and getting in and out of the huddle and, you know, being crisp and, you know, explosive plays. Nothing made me more frustrated than when D'Amico went up there yesterday and said, well, we got explosive plays. We've had two. One of those was a complete bust by the cornerback. Well, we've had two blown plays. I mean, big explosive plays, explosive plays. No, you haven't. Two? That's what you're talking about? Two plays? And including yesterday, you mentioned it, penalties and field position and the little things and getting in and getting in and out of the huddle and all that. This is a bad team, as you said, that is not showing any signs and has not deserved to win a single game. That is a big, big problem. That is a very big problem.
Now, of course, I think Mark Vandermeer says this, and I will agree with him in this regard. When a team is losing, especially to the likes or to the tune of 0-3, nothing that is said at a podium or any dais will make you feel better. However, this is how D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of this team, started his press conference. This was his opening statement after the loss 17-10 to the Jags.
When you have the penalties that we had to kind of knock us back a lot offensively, defensively, penalty in the end zone, you turn the ball over three times, that's tough to win in this league. It's tough enough to win, but when you put yourself in position where you're helping the opponent, like, that's just not a good recipe for winning football. So until we clean up the things we can clean up, right, then we play winning football, then we'll have a chance to turn it around. But again, man, we're close. That's what it is. We're close, but close isn't good enough. So we got to pick it up and find a way to get a win.
And now we could do 30 minutes. We could do a 15-minute stand-up set on we're close, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that that's going to be the easy part to hit. And look, we'll get there too. But I want to kind of focus on, hey, we got these penalties and these small things, which first and foremost, D'Amico Ryans stood up at I don't know if that specific dais, but at a dais saying, like, we got to get these things cleaned up.
We're going to get these
things cleaned up a number of times. And here we are 3 weeks in. After next week, it'll be a quarter of the way through the season, right? So we're pretty deep into the season at this point, still making rudimentary mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, can I interest you in this nugget? Did you look across the field at who the Texans were playing against, John Lopez?
Yeah, I did recognize.
Did they look like a clean operation?
They were awful.
Like, the Jaguars did everything as much as they could to give this thing back to you. In fact, let me make sure that
they had
drops. Right.
They had penalties. They had bad execution.
All right, so the Texans had seven penalties for 66 yards. Mm-hmm. Not advisable. The Jacksonville Jaguars had 9 penalties for 70 yards, right? Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars had a possession where they had 3 straight drops in the third quarter. When you talk about doing bad, you outbatted a bad team out there on that field. Like, the reason why, the difference in this game was that you decided you were going to give up a touchdown so you give your offense a little bit more time to go and try and get it back, and then you ultimately end up with an interception. I am so frustrated because all the little things that you're supposed to be able to fix, even in this instance, you did them again, which, one, is atrocious in and of itself, but then you did them to a larger degree than a team over there that is trying to get themselves out of the hole that they've been in under their previous head coach, Doug Peterson. Like, you were supposed to be an ascending team, and yet you are out here playing in the mud with the pigs.
Yeah, and you know, look, all these things are just awful from the Texans. But, you know, and Vandermeer is right. No matter when you're 0-3, no matter what you say, it's not going to come across sounding, you know, a positive or reasonable or anything. All right, so let's forget what people are talking about, what people said after this game. How about 29th in total offense? How about last in scoring? How about last in red zone percentage? 23rd in sacks allowed. 26th in passer rating. Dead last in offensive line performance, according to PFF. All the sacks, the hits, the pressures. Let's talk. Forget about what people said after the game. What do the numbers tell you after the game? This is a team that is really, really. Look at those numbers. They're last. They are 0-4 in the red zone. The thing that's alarming about that number, I mean, that's that.
It's not the 0.
It's the 4.
That's the
4.
Through 3 games.
3 games. They've been in the red zone 4 times.
And look, you might say, we were doing the thing where, again, I understand it's the hometown team. It is your team. And you never want to look your child in the face and go, oh, no, you're the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wants to. I'm guessing John Lopez. I'm preaching to the choir here, right? Yeah. I'm sure that you had some. Well, I don't know. You had good kids. But I don't know. I'm sure. I know my mama had a couple of times.
Everybody has issues.
Where she got a report card back. And, you know, you want to be like, all right, well, what is the teacher doing? Yeah. What's the other instances? And at some point, you got to look and be like, wait, no, what did you do?
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, this is, I mean.
But see what I'm saying? Like, okay, even if you just eliminate the eye roll that is we're close, just eliminate, act like it never happened. What are we seeing on the field? What are the numbers telling us? What are the grades telling us? You're rotating guards. You're rotating guards on a team that said, hey, we need to be together. We need to be one unit, 5 fingers in a glove. You know, the more they play together, the better they are. And you're like, screw it. Let's just rotate the guards, including one of the guys that couldn't see the field.
Here's D'Amico on the rotation at left guard.
Yeah, we wanted to get juice. We wanted to get juice in a little bit there for Lakin. Just wanted to roll those guys, see how that's going. So we wanted to roll those guys. That was our plan going into the week.
That was the plan going into the week.
Hey, was that a clip from preseason?
No. But here's the thing, though, right?
For all Bleep the folks, it, let's try this.
For all the folks who were like, hey, man, Juice Scruggs, why is he on the team if he can't get on the field? Mm-hmm. I don't even think this is like, oh, well, we believe so highly in Juice that we were.
It's searching for answers.
Yeah.
And that's because Lakin has been so bad there, which circles back to the idea that you willingly came out of an offseason where you needed to make sure that your offensive line was better.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided, this is enough.
Yeah.
Understanding that once you get into the season, ain't no fixing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, there's a lot of indictments all through. There's a lot of things through this game that you can go, that's a fireable offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fireable offense. Let me stop. I am not saying that I'm calling for anybody's job right now, but if you were so inclined, because this is the thing when it comes to firing anybody in the world of sports at the very least, and honestly, we are seeing more and more in all different lines of work, the most important thing factor in whether or not somebody will get fired is want to.
Yeah.
And so, because there's always something that you can hang it on. But yes, like, I don't think that you want to. Somebody ultimately said, what has D'Amico Ryans done to show he should continue? I don't think we can ignore the previous seasons and understanding where this Texas team had been prior. However, there were a lot of things that were unbecoming of a coach that we view of his caliber, of a general manager that we typically view, Nick Caserio of his caliber, and really of the entirety of the staff and also players. Like, this was an embarrassment in front of, say it with me, the hoes.
Yeah. And even the allowing them to score, which I don't know where you fall on this. I think they did allow them to score, obviously.
Yeah, this one felt a lot more obvious than what we were trying to Zapruder film with the Bucks last week.
But I was texting with Indy Kalu because we were talking about it with Indy last Thursday. As it was happening, he goes, yeah, that's what they did, I think. And I'm like, yeah, probably. But my answer was, with this offense?
Yeah.
With this offense, you're allowing them to
score? See, that's the other thing. We kind of understood what Tampa Bay was doing last week because their offense was kind of rolling and the defense didn't really have an answer for the run game, all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't really that confident. Yeah, I wasn't that confident.
Yeah.
I actually didn't hate that decision.
With this offense.
Yeah, but here's the thing. With the way that they had gotten to the Jags had gotten into the red zone there, I think also with this defense, I wasn't certain that you were going to keep him out of the end zone, mm-hmm. which is really frustrating considering all things considered. But then also, and look, they had the opportunity to run the clock down pretty far in that, and you would still have to then trust this offense to go down the field. That I understand where you go, give them a maximum amount of a time because they have been, gosh, this is such a harsh word. They have been remedial.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to give them the most opportunity to go and do something.
Yeah.
Like, I do understand that thought process, which really, really, that might be. In fact, there's going to be a number of indictments. We might need to get an indictment bell. That is one of the indictments on this team at this juncture.
Well, and that's, you know, this is not, you know, after the fact. As it was happening, I was texting with Andy, and before the Texans even, you know, got the ball on the kickoff. With this offense, you're making that call. And by the way, while we're speaking of D'Amico, tackling, swarm. Yeah, swarm all you want. Use your damn arms. Take them down.
Yeah, that was I was making note of like the plays that were big time game changers.
Trevor Lawrence pulled a Baker Mayfield.
There's that. There is a big third and 24
mm-hmm.
In the third quarter with Brenton Strange, who I think I might have mentioned his name last week. I hope I did because he was out. We thought about the guys, Brian Thomas Jr. We thought about Travis Hunter. Those are the big names. The dudes that they have really been utilizing early
Parker
on this
Washington.
Season, mm-hmm. Parker Washington, Diami Brown, Brenton Strange. All those names got called in this game yesterday.
Yeah.
One of those, Brenton Strange, the tight end, was bouncing off dudes on a third and 24 and got you significantly closer, in part because you have Azeez Al-Shaair, hello Joker, mm-hmm. out here trying to express physicality and trying to use his forearms to shove that man and push him backwards instead of wrapping him up.
Yeah.
And he bounces off, gets them into range where they get a 52-yard field goal that they ultimately knock down. That's 3 points in a 17-10 game that you really could have used mm-hmm. if you got that stop because you had pinned them so far back earlier with run stops and with the tackle for loss early on. Like, you had done the work on the front end and you gave it all back in the way that you've done time and time again through the first 3 weeks of the season. That, again, points to the idea that this is a bad football team.
Right. And now, one more thing that I think is very important, and it does speak to, again, we're not like, oh, fire this, fire that. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. But all last week, the week before, D'Amico Ryans was talking about the operation, you know, being crisp in and out of the huddle, tackling, being, you know, all the little things. And in a roundabout way, and maybe not even that roundabout, Reggie, that's putting it on the players. Hey, it's the operation. Hey, they need to be better at this. They need to be better at that. They need to be better at that. After 2 weeks of working on that, it ain't the players. Because D'Amico said, we're going to fix this. We're going to work on this, whether it's the offensive coaches or the defensive coaches or whatever. It's the operation. They need to do this better and this better. You know, better protection. We're close. How about, better tackling? We're going to work on the tackling. They worked on the tackling, presumably, for 2 weeks.
Oh, they did. Remember, we talked about Steven Adegoke out there in the full jersey, and we got the safeties out here tackling, not pads, dudes.
So at some point, when you're saying it's the operation, and you're indicating that it's the players, it's not the players after 2 weeks,
and here's
the coaches.
Here's the thing, though. The tackling was better in the first half, and they came out in the second half, and just like the Jags had that period in, I think, late in the third quarter where they were dropping the football, the Texans had three straight plays mm-hmm. of missed tackles and leaky yardage. And so it's like they came out of half, and they got some level of instruction, and then the previous instruction got taken out. When you got a VHS tape, you're like, I got to record this. I got to record over some. We recorded over the, hey, make sure that you wrap up portion of the program. No,
and then the offensive
you're
side.
You're right. There's the players, but it's not just the players. It's not just.
It's
and that's,
not.
And this is why everybody balks so much at the idea that we're close, because it's a whole bunch of little things. Mm-hmm. We've all had the to-do list where it's like, I don't got much to do. I just got to sweep the floor and clean the dishes and do the laundry and fix and clean the gutters. And it's like you get to doing that on a Saturday and you look up and it's 8 p.m. because it's a whole bunch of little things that add up to a big thing. And that's what's happening with this Texas team right now. It's just a little bit of tackling and pass protection and catching the football and getting up to the line on time and getting the play call.
And the coaches yelling at each other on the sideline, or at least one of them.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll ask who had the worst weekend between the Texans and the Astros. But I also wanted to ask, was this a big thing? Was this a thing when you see the picture of D'Amico Ryans yelling on the sideline? Or is this just a thing that we're going to make into something? We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who had a worse weekend? Was it your Houston Texans football team? Or was it your Houston Astros baseball team? You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Before we get there, someone said on the text line from the 713, watching the Texans and Jags play, I swear I heard the Benny Hill theme song playing. That's from Art and Wood Forest. And why do you have that at the ready?
Dude.
Why is that ready to go?
You are good, Figgy.
I've been waiting to play this.
I bet you have.
You.
Now I just got to find a highlight to go with this now.
Like, I know, I think we all felt this, but we were not watching this together. And I said we all, not just us in this room, but all of us collectively that were watching this game, especially those of us that felt locked in by either our work or just our fandom to this game. I felt like I was being held hostage. I'm pretty sure this was against the Geneva Convention, right? Like, I'm pretty sure I was watching this game and I was like, this has to be one of the worst games of football that I've ever been subjected to in my life that I have to watch.
Yeah.
Right.
You lost to a bad team.
It was deeply frustrating as a football game.
You lost to a bad team. By the way, if you're looking for a highlight to go with this, how about that catch and throw in the Mariners game? When Paris Chica is, man.
So what is that? That's Friday night.
Friday night, yeah.
Where at the end of the game, in the bottom of the ninth, you're looking for two runs, right? Mm-hmm. Is my memory serving me correctly? You have Jake Meyers at second, somebody else on first. My memory is, there's a lot of things that has happened this weekend and a lot of things I need to keep straight. If you can help me out, 713-572-4610. Ball, hit deep into right center. And
what a catch.
Good God, what was that, Victor Robles? Yes. in right? Just an incredible.
I got it. Don't worry.
I mean, I feel bad gushing over this here in Houston because I'm like, that was an incredible catch. I mean, he's horizontal. He's Superman flying over the turf to make that grab. But it seemed like Jake Meyers had decided well before that. I'm going, baby. There's one out in the top and in the bottom of the ninth.
It ain't no way in hell he's catching that.
He's like, ain't no way. I'm going.
I don't care if this is the major leagues. I don't know. I don't think he'll catch it.
He was still going after he caught the ball, too.
Brother, he
was at home plate.
Yeah.
He had that. He got damn near to home plate, looks up like, wait, what happened?
And I like the way they got what him are we out doing? Second. They just said, they were like playing soft toss. Like, here you go. Go ahead and step on that bag. But he ain't going to get back here.
At the same time, Tony Paris Chica is like, I mean, that ain't nothing close to a stop sign going there. That's as green as green lights go.
No.
And that started a weekend of...
We should have known. Huh?
Yeah, we should have known. I mean, in some ways, I think we knew deep down, but we're like, you got to hold out hope because this series matters so much. And what did your Astros give you? Bupkis.
Nothing.
They gave you nothing. A sweep. At the hands of the Seattle Mariners, who are now three games ahead of you in the AL West. Your Astros really didn't give you much offensively all over the weekend.
They never led.
That is a great point.
They never led.
Never lead all the way through the weekend. Fromber gives you...
Fromber.
The Jason Alexander, he gets shelled to there the goes, tune of...
What did McTaggart say? The glass slipper is off or the whatever it is?
I mean, it's not just off. It's been crashed. It's been ground up. You know, it's back in the sand. This is rough.
All that said.
And so you have an Astros team that's three games back in the AL West. They are, if the season were to end today, they would be out of the playoffs because they don't have the tiebreaker against the Cleveland Guardians. Mm-hmm. So you go from being right there in the AL West to now looking like you need to scrap and claw for the wild card in the final few games, which are all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a Texans team that's 0-3, where no 0-3 team has made the Super Bowl. So just in case you were thinking that was a thing that was possible for the Texans, off the table. And only one in the last 25 years has made the playoffs starting 0-3. That's your 2018 Houston Texans. Only six in the modern era of the NFL have made the playoffs from 0-3, dating back to at least 1980. And so which of these teams had the worst weekend, friends? 713-572-4610.
We need to go on the record here. Not that it's that big a deal, but I want to know from you and Figgy, you know, who had the most disappointing, the worst weekend. I'm going to say the Texans, based on expectations. You know, if you look at what and I know the Astros, they just flat out fell on their face. I mean, that was bad. They just never led. 2 for 22, I believe, with runners in scoring position. Just bad, 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 bad. We get that. But the expectation for the Astros was kind of fingers crossed. I hope, I think, they have the gene. They've done so much. The expectations for the Texans was they're here. They have arrived. This team is all it needs is the good, safe offense, a couple of big plays here and there, and they are inept. This is an inept football team altogether. And we can say, yeah, they still have a good defense. Yeah, they have an okay defense.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm about to say, is it a good defense?
Yeah, they have an okay defense. They can't tackle. You know,
like I'm curious where they rank when it comes to defenses in the league, like as far as the numbers through week four.
Well,
sounds like you're talking to me right
now. Yeah.
But beyond that, you know what really good defenses do? They don't let the Rams go down and beat you. They don't let the Bucks go down and beat you. They don't let the Jaguars go down and beat you. That bothers me more. That should bother you more than anything else. Like, what do good defenses do? Really good defenses? They step up and they make the plays. You know, that which also ties back to, you know, we're close. Are you? You can't tackle and you can't stop them when it counts the most.
But this is the thing that's the most frustrating about all of this. Because I think that this is a worse defense than it was last year as of this moment.
Yeah.
I still think this is a good defense. If for no other reason, then you are top five in points allowed per game. You've allowed 17 points per game. The problem is the margins are just so razor thin that everything gets highlighted. And that's not to say the defense hasn't had real problems. The secondary, specifically safeties, have looked a little dicey, although I would like to give a salute to the man that wears number 8. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson absolutely showed up in a way that he hadn't in the first two games. For me personally, there was at least one play where there's a, you know, kind of a screen where he's the man to make the tackle, and he's playing at true safety, third-level depth. And he triggers, he gets downfield, and he makes the tackle. Like, the aggression of him kind of showed up. The only thing that could stop him was apparently a contact falling out on the field for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But, yeah, I think this defense, there's still problems. There's tackling issues. Yeah. There's leaky. I mean, it feels like if any team wants to get about 5 to 7 yards in a zone, they can get that at any time by just sitting down between those linebackers, and they will get those yards. So, like, there's things that still exist there. But I can also look at that and go, well, I mean, they're still holding up kind of their end of the bargain of we're going to hold teams below the margin. I mean, usually what is it in the NFL now? Keep people to 19 points and you have an opportunity. They're below that, and you're just not getting anything of real note from the offense. But I think you're right on the overall sense.
But look at the ends of these games.
Yeah.
The ends of all three of them.
Well,
all three of them.
They've given you opportunities. But,
well, they punched out the ball at the very end, and that ended up being the offense, but they did have that big second half.
And they had interceptions. The they had their first interception.
In the second half.
And we kind of had like a high expectation for this defense, too. I think top five, maybe top 10 type of defense.
Oh, I was saying top three, top five.
Yeah.
I'll fall on the sword.
for real. And I thought so, too. Yeah. I just feel like it's a little more issues with this defense than we expected. Yeah.
From the 713, in terms of wrecking my mood, the Texans just beat out the Astros on who had the worst weekend, but both had me drinking. That's from the 713.
to be fair, you're probably going to drink anyway.
Let's see. From Brandon on the YouTube, Texans easily. I thought I saw someone else actually go for the Astros here when we come to it, mentioning that Jake Myers is – attempt at making a run, even if he had gotten that did not matter because you still need another run. By the way, I did say it was Friday. That was Saturday, the 6-4 loss. The tough thing about it is the Astros, the window we knew was kind of closing, and this was an attempt to pry it open. So maybe that doesn't hurt as hard as seeing the 0-3 start for a Texas team where it's like, this is supposed to be part of the ascension and you're falling flat on your face.
You just hit on something. Yeah.
But I think also there is something to be said for this is the start of the season for the Texans. And as much as you have to squint and contort yourself, you could maybe see there's opportunity. There's time to maybe get it right. This is the Astros in the waning moments dying and withering. And that maybe gives you the opportunity to possibly go, this is the worst weekend for the Astros. Because also, it's how it happened. The damn Seattle Mariners, the team that for like a half decade we've been saying, oh, here they come, and they couldn't get off the tarmac, they couldn't get off the runway, they did it to you?
See, the thing is, I feel like the Astros had the worst weekend because I feel like the Astros always had this switch that they flip on when it's time to flip on. And the Seattle Mariners, who always fall flat on their face around this time, they didn't, man. They came in like they were the Astros.
Yeah.
And to make things worse, if you look around kind of who's all in the mix, man, it seemed like everybody was blazing hot. Mm-hmm. You had the Guardians won 10 in a row, and it just seemed like this was the wrong time. And you had your best starting rotation out there.
Yeah.
That was your best. Well, and you just fall flat like that.
I do agree with what you're saying, and that was my sentiment as well. I thought the same thing. They'll be able to step up. It also left me, after yesterday, thinking maybe the worm has turned. The Mariners looked hungrier. The Mariners had the better power, the better defense. The manager. With all the better pitching.
They were cooking on the mound, brother. The better bullpen.
The better managerial moves and all that.
That trade deadline looking lovely for them
it's
right now.
It's looking awesome. So, and this is a whole other topic that I'm sure we'll get to this week, but has the worm turned? Because the Astros looked like the team that was aging and maybe telling us the time is done and scrambling for answers and all that. So that's I don't disagree with your point. I'm still going to say Texans because of what Reggie said just a second ago. He said the ascension. There is not only is there no ascension that we're seeing, we're seeing decline. And that is frustrating and heartbreaking and maddening.
Oof. There's a lot more to talk about with both of these teams. And you know what? I thought I was going to, like, we were all just going to be able to wallow in the mire together. Someone is a little bit low from the 832. I'm a Razorback fan, so trifecta of crap. Baby. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, man, for you, friend. But you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's see if we can at least have some fun. Like, for me personally, in my culture,
no.
when we are sad, we make jokes in order to make ourselves feel better. So let's do that. Question of the day. What are the Texans close to? Wrong answers only. 713-572-4610. Let's laugh to keep from crying next. All right. Here in about 30 minutes, we should be hearing from the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, here on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. But before we get there, and before we get to hear him on a Monday, we do hear him after the game. And D'Amico said, again, that he believes that this team is close. Now, he did also add the additional portion, which he had not added prior, of but close isn't good enough mm-hmm. when you don't win games. So, like, there's a little bit of awareness in the way that he tried to pose it. However, in order to laugh to keep from crying, what are the Texans close to? Wrong answers only. 713-572-4610.
So you're saying wrong answers only.
That's right.
I kind of had a right answer that's probably going to stir the pot a little bit, but okay. I think it's...
You're just going to break the game right up. We're trying to have fun, John Lopez.
What is it?
I think this team is closer to the Jack Easterby Texans than okay. D'Amico's vision.
All right.
Think about it. I'll just leave that out there in the.
That's definitely a wrong answer.
In the ethos.
Well, I mean, if you compare it, I heard Sean making this point, and he's not wrong. The Texans win divisions in pairs, right? You got 11-12 were the wins, and then you had a 2-4 season in 13. Mm-hmm. You had 15-16. You win the division. 17 is a 4-12 season. That's isn't that the Watson ACL tear mm-hmm. season? 18-19, you win the division. 20 is a 4-12 season in which Bill O'Brien gets fired. So then you have 23-24, you win the division, and then this year, which is going to be the ultimate lasting legacy? We're very early in, 3 out of 17 games thus far. But if you don't get your ass in gear, right, we are going to have that kind of note, and you will fall into one of the worst things as being a statistic. Off of the strength of this run.
Yeah. Wrong answers only.
Wrong answers only,
this
sir.
This is clearly the greatest show on turf. Clearly, right?
Close to being the greatest show on turf.
This is the greatest show on turf, man.
Actually, yeah. To that end, Figgy, do you mind giving me C.J. Stroud cut 8 here? This is C.J. Stroud saying what some of the good things that they did on offense in this game.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All right, you know what? Don't worry about it.
I thought we ran the ball well. I thought we somewhat threw it well. It's always better than what you think, but when you lose, of course, it's not good enough. So, there's the sun to rise up tomorrow, and we'll be able to go back to work. So that's a positive, and, you know, you got to just keep going forward. You know, everybody's going to talk crazy like they've been doing, and have these analyses, and rightfully so. Like, you know, that's NFL. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. So we got to be able to stay together, stick together, stay as a family, stay as a brotherhood, and, ooh, baby, you know, try to get these things fixed because, you know, it's a long season. It's,
oh, there's another one.
You know,
one.
Sucks you start 0-3, but, you know, it can be flipped. So,
you know what this reminded me of? Remember when Deshaun, I hate to compare him to Deshaun Watson.
Well, I mean, there's reasons that you could.
Remember when they was kind of going through that with Deshaun Watson and Deshaun said, hey, you know, my day going wet. What I forgot what the quote he said, but he's pretty much saying, hey, ain't nobody taking my shine away I'm in a great mood.
I'll give CJ more room there. He didn't get that disrespectful. I will say, though, the where he started, which is what I thought, and I'd forgotten about all the rest of it. Oh, boy, we have to circle back around to that, was that they ran the football well, which
they didn't.
They ran for 4.6 a carry. But I was telling you, gentlemen, I was looking a little bit deeper into some more of these stats. When it comes to success rate, which is more of situationally what you do, like, are you running the ball situationally for a successful play, a play that helps you in this moment? Like, on first down, if you pick up 4, you make it second and medium, right? That is a successful play. On a third down, when you run the football, you better pick up a first down because that is a successful play on that play. You want to know what their success rate was in week 3?
I do.
Somewhere around 21%, about 1/5 of the time, and that was DFL in the National Football League for week 3. So, no, you did not run the football well.
Okay, and as far as, like, what he's saying there, forget all the cliches there at the end. When you are in a position to say the sun will rise tomorrow.
That's always a good sign, ain't it?
I'm not going to say it's over because, you know, obviously there are more games to be played, and I guess anything's possible. But it's just about, like, a white flag. Like, well, you know what? The sun will come up tomorrow. Nobody wants to hear
from nobody there. Taking my joy away.
I think they got that on the script.
Yes.
At the suicide hotline.
Yeah, the
like hey, don't forget, man.
I feel like
tomorrow's another day.
I feel like I heard that saying after watching The Walking Dead season finale where they just murdered like 20 of the cast.
Yeah. Well,
the sun will rise tomorrow, man. Sun will rise tomorrow.
All right, sorry, I didn't gotten away from the question of the day. What are the Texans close to from the 614 driving off the Galveston Pier? Well, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't realize that those were going to tie in so much to the previous thing I just said. From the 832, close to going defeated close to going completely defeated, it seems like. I mean, they're three games closer than they were at the start of the season. That is fair. From the 614, close to losing our H-Town Blue Unis to the Titans.
Oh, well,
well, I mean, you got a game coming up here next week where you better not embarrass us in front of everybody, like in front of the man.
Say it.
Better not embarrass us in front of the hoes, man.
And here's the other part. I mentioned this to you. You know, obviously it's obvious, but if somehow you lose that game to the Titans at home, then you have the Ravens, the Seahawks, and the Niners.
Is that good?
Boy,
no. That's
I don't even want to say 0-7.
But you did.
I just did.
I love the way you did
I think
that.
At that point, teams going to be knocking on your door like, what you want for Danielle Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
We got the playoff push. What you want for this person?
Yeah.
All right. I thought I said wrong answers only. 832. Texans are close to wanting Nick Caley out and promoting Gerard Johnson to OC. Mm. We'll have conversations about that, I'm sure. Well, hopefully we won't, because they'll get their acting, their asses in gear.
Yeah.
Texans are close to making me listen to the Bite Me podcast instead of texting.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Can I just say something real quick about the Bite Me podcast, which started with Captain Scott Null and myself sitting on the back of a truck saying, hey, we should do a podcast. And he said, what's a podcast? But that's neither here nor there. So we had our Bite Me podcast Feeding Frenzy on Saturday, which is our annual sort of a thank you to all the listeners that have made it into such a monster and a fundraiser. We added a foundation charity element to it with Texas Boys Outdoors, which helps veterans and first responders and Shriners kids, who are having a hard time, and Heroes on the Water, which is very similar. Dude, in one day on Saturday at the Feeding Frenzy event, we raised $73,000.
Yo!
$73,000.
And who's that stand to benefit?
Well, first responders, veterans, and Shriners and Texas Children's Kids that are going through it. They take them out on outdoor adventures and fishing and kayaking and stuff like that. So if you are at all involved with that, this was just like, hey, we should do something 3 years ago. And I think we raised $30,000 the first year, just under $30,000 the first year, just over $50,000 the second year. And Saturday, $73,000 in one day.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
That's good, man.
Shout out to Houston doing good things
in the greater Texas area. Texas doing good things, man. Because right now, the Texas football is doing bad things. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, not the University of Texas. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where there is one team that is 3-0 in the division. It's not going to make you happy. Let's talk about that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair. The best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.